Welcome to The Marketing Menu, the delicious podcast with regular, relevant content to help your business grow and thrive. Jargon-free, easy-to-understand marketing tools with effective tips and tricks, and guaranteed no cheese.
Hi, and thanks for tuning in to The Marketing Menu, brought to you by Liz and Nikki. Hi, Nikki. What tasty morsel do we have for the listeners today?
Hello, Liz. Yes, well, I'm excited by this because we're talking social media, which weirdly, 8 podcasts in, you might have thought we'd have concentrated a bit on by now. But I guess we know our listeners are familiar with social media as it's central to business. So first, I'd like to talk about maybe the differences between using these tools for business and then in a personal context. And then I'd like to explore damage control and finally look at some small business trends and social media trends and highlight some tools that some listeners may like to consider.
Wow, that seems like a lot to cover in 15 minutes. We all know the world's changing rapidly, and we were only talking about this the other day, weren't we? When we talked about how technology has changed our careers and the fact that we can remember the days before computers.
Yeah, I know, that's so true. So I know we both live and breathe social media now, but sort of 25 years ago, I was telling you that I started my career on a Canon TypeStar display typewriter, which at the time I thought was really cutting edge. And then 12 years ago, a manager suggested that we try blogging. And to be fair, I'd never heard of it. Fast forward 5 years and I was blogging. I was running email and Facebook campaigns and training charity groups on social media. So I guess the point is, you know, the digital world has exploded, and small businesses, you know, ignore the benefits of social media at their peril, because ultimately we never really know where the next tool is going to come from or what developments these, you know, from these channels might be. So I guess miss the boat and you're already behind the curve, really.
That's so true. I mean, communication has always been important, obviously, in marketing. It's just a little faster moving nowadays, which can be an amazing commercial opportunity. But also businesses need to be mindful of the risks if they get it wrong, or worse, bury their heads in the sand. I guess the key to it is the interactive aspect.
Definitely.
It has to be a two-way dialogue. Otherwise, you're just making noise and talking at people.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, we all know that a well-managed social media campaign can help build your market, whether that's simply just to increase, you know, communication with clients or drive traffic to your website, or whether you're using it to gain feedback and customer insight. Or, you know, maybe all those objectives at the same time. I guess the only real negative I can think of with social media is to do it properly, it takes time and effort. And to be honest, that's lots of time and effort. What's more, you know, once you've started, you must keep putting one foot in front of the other. You can't just stop when you think you've had enough.
Absolutely. It's all about consistency, isn't it? And we talk about that all the time at The Marketing Menu. Plus, there are simply hundreds of channels, and obviously others are coming on stream all the time. So it's no wonder people get confused about which are the best channels to use.
True. Yeah. And businesses do need to find out which channels their customers are using. Whilst it could be said, for example, there's little need for an accountant to, say, be on Facebook, Facebook may well be the platform that people are actually on when trying to avoid doing their tax returns, for example. So, you know, maybe Facebook isn't the platform you prioritise, but it should be one that you at least have a presence on. Although, obviously, you're going to get a better return, say, on LinkedIn, which is, after all, a social media channel, or at least increasingly so.
So we'd advise listeners to think of social media in the context of traditional marketing. For any marketing to work, you have to look at what we discussed in podcast 4, what makes your customer tick. That's attention, interest, desire, action. So it's important to research your audience, understand your demographics, like what do they read, what do they do, where do they go, what are their hobbies. Then you gain attention, either through advertising or posts, so that you can arouse interest, not by flogging things, but by either educating or creating engaging content, so that you increase desire in your product or service, which will in turn lead to action on behalf of your audience through increased interest and ultimately potential sales.
Well done, Liz. I like that. Perfectly put. It is, as you say, all about raising awareness and influencing, but remembering that, you know, the more useful and interesting the content you get or you put out there, you will gain more interest. Ultimately, I suppose, remember the old mantra of be everywhere should actually be replaced with be where it matters.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, it comes down to the interaction, as you say. So, you know, how many people are listening and talking back to you on social media through likes, shares, comments, replies, for example. And if you're, you know, because if you're talking and nobody's actually listening, then obviously your social media activity is going to be a waste of time. So the more interactions you receive, the further your message spreads, the greater results, and whatever it is you're measuring, of course. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. So again, back to podcast four, what makes your customer tick? You need to think about your customer's problems. What are their needs, wants and hopes? And then write compelling copy for each that creates the desire, provokes a reaction, and in turn reveals a benefit. And then divide the audiences into groups based on their differing needs so that you interact with them in different ways and possibly on different channels.
Yeah, that's interesting, actually, because I read, that brings me to an interesting article I read on Mashable the other day from a young guy who was complaining how hard it was to post, to know where to post on social media nowadays. You know, as we've said before, we know how people are always in a rush to be the first one to share stories. And obviously there's a tendency to, as a result of that, to share, shall we say, you know, perhaps dull stories, or perhaps not dull, but not of interest to everybody on that platform. So I guess this demonstrates how important it is to choose certain platforms and then dig in rather than just simply post everywhere to everyone.
Yeah, it also highlights that it's important to use each platform differently. And also, don't post the same content on every channel. I guess what you mean is keep certain platforms for, say, friends and others for purely business?
Yeah, I think, because I think there's a bit of a backlash going on, really, you know, with certain channels. You know, like Instagram and Snapchat stories, they've been really jumped on by people simply trying to sell stuff. And I guess it's sort of muddied the water a little bit, which I suppose brings us, you know, onto damage control quite nicely.
Yeah, just before we do that, though, it's time to remind listeners that if you're enjoying this Marketing Menu podcast, please do make sure you share and subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn or Blueberry when this edition's finished. We're a new channel and we'd really like to get out there and help as many growing businesses as possible by making some impact. So, obviously, having a social media presence that represents your brand means you must respond quickly and directly to any adverse reactions. Is that right?
Yeah, and I'm afraid you have to plan for the worst whilst expecting the best to happen.
Yeah.
You know, a professional, responsible manager should oversee communication on corporate sites specifically and be well-versed on the risks.
Of course, all employees are potential spokespeople, but everyone from executives down should be trained in the basics of good and bad communication.
Definitely. Now, I witnessed another car crash waiting to happen the other day following the horrific Manchester bombing. Now, an American freelance writer, now he was a freelancer for some major players like Yahoo and CBS, but he tweeted a really disparaging remark about Ariana Grande's in relation to the fatalities. Oh my goodness, the backlash that followed was, you know, quite rightly scary. And although he followed it up with an apology and then he removed the post, the damage was so done. So I guess I stress again, be really careful about what you post and keep your personal and business profiles, or at least the comments, really separate, because you could do untold damage.
Yeah, we all know good examples of this, I'm sure. But I think your point is that it's important to ensure that teams understand the implications and put in measures to ensure things are addressed professionally should there be some nuclear fallout. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, for sure. I mean, I've got one client who has a no-go social media policy when it comes to linking staff profiles to, say, the mentions of the business. And whilst I think this is perhaps a little OTT, it is extremely important that you provide the training for your staff so you put some good governance in place. You know, then you've got also the issue of tone of voice. But I think, you know, that could be a whole other episode for the Marketing Menu.
Yeah, we'll come back to that for sure. And of course, we're here to tailor the content to our listeners' needs. So if you have any questions, please do get in touch. But most of all, please share our channel with others who you may feel may benefit from tuning in. So I had a quick look at some of the up-to-date social media facts recently. I've got some interesting nuggets to share.
Oh, go on then. Go on, please.
Well, 79% of Pinterest users are female.
That doesn't surprise me.
Why is that?
I'm on Pinterest and I just sort of see, I really enjoy it. I like it, but I can't see how it might not appeal to men so much.
Sure. And I think obviously that's really important if your target market is predominantly female.
Yeah, definitely.
And interestingly, 88% purchase a product they pinned. So have you done that?
No. But it's almost, actually. Yeah. No, I've always got there.
Love it when we can back the stats up.
I might look again now.
Going on spending spree.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you think Twitter is viral, well, that's got nothing on Pinterest. Over 80% of pins are repins, compared to 1.4% of tweets that are retweeted. Plus, of course, on Pinterest, they live longer. So obviously, Pinterest is a very good place to promote a business. Now, Twitter has, wait for it, 319 million users worldwide.
Oh my good grief.
In 2017. But only 1.4% of tweets are retweeted.
That's really bad.
I know. The average number of posts per page, we're talking Facebook now, is 1.48 posts. Yeah. But in retail, so business, this shoots to 7.4 posts a day. Wow. And this is probably because the organic reach for a Facebook page post is now 2%. That said, the average number of people buying or selling on Facebook monthly is 450 million.
Good God. Right. I must admit, I don't think I've ever bought anything from Facebook. But anyway, yeah, I'll have to check. Yeah. That's a lot of posting, though. So I guess we need to consider posting more frequently, really. And then think about paying for, you know, boosts and traffic on Facebook and Twitter.
It seems to be that way. But, you know, I think as marketers, we need to be creative in the way we use social media and try to avoid treating our potential customers as stereotypes. I read another report that scored social media platforms on issues of mental health and well-being of young people in the UK.
Ooh, I'm interested in this. Yeah, go on.
After surveying over, I think it was 1,500 young people across the UK, they found that certain platforms, specifically Instagram and Snapchat, which as we know are very image-focused, they may be driving increased feelings of inadequacy and anxiety in young people. Mm-hmm. To quote Shirley Kramer, the chief executive for the Royal Society for Public Health, social media is almost as addictive as cigarettes and alcohol and is now so entrenched in the lives of young people that it's no longer possible to ignore it when talking about young people's mental health issues, particularly when relating it to factors such as depression, body image, loneliness and bullying, amongst others.
So when you mention, sorry, being creative, are you suggesting brands try to counter this by flipping the stereotypes?
Yeah, I think that would be great, don't you? Although it's a risky strategy, I noticed Nike has recently pushed this idea on Instagram, but I think it could really work for smaller brands too. There's so much pressure on young people nowadays. Imagine if you were offering advice, support and celebrating body image instead. Anyway, it's just an idea listeners may like to throw around if this is your target market. And of course, it's not just for young people either.
Yeah, so going back to that, so out of interest, which were ranked the most positively about health and well-being then?
Well, number one was YouTube being the most positive. Mm-hmm. Two was Twitter. Three was Facebook. Four was Snapchat. And the most negative was Instagram.
Wow, interesting.
So you mentioned tools at the beginning of this episode, Nikki. What are you thinking about here?
So Liz, so you know I'm a firm believer in ensuring that all this social media stuff doesn't make me a social media junkie. Believe me, I've been there. I can't afford to be on social media every day. So I try to think of social media management in terms of two contexts. The first context is the housekeeping element, and then the second is the in-the-moment stuff.
Yeah, so together I know we both use different tools to schedule content. That means that you don't have to post it live. You can actually time it to go out later in the day or later in the week. But perhaps we should share what tools we've explored so the listeners can look at these after the broadcast and maybe try them out for themselves.
Yeah, definitely.
So I use TweetDeck, or I have used TweetDeck, but it does only allow you to schedule for Twitter. And you can't add photos, which is a bit frustrating.
Right, okay.
And I'm currently using Social Oomph, where you can add photos.
Right, I haven't explored that one.
I also use the schedule tool on Facebook all the time, of course. Is that the same for you?
Yeah. Yes, I have actually. Weirdly, I was using TweetDeck, as were you. I've now moved on to Hootsuite, although funnily enough, I do come back to Facebook, you know, for the social posts as well. But because I'm running multiple accounts on multiple platforms, Hootsuite's quite a good tool to use. I also explored eClincher, which I think is a fairly new kid on the block for a while. And I did think that was brilliant in terms of scheduling and getting content, but it was more expensive. So I'm waiting really on that one until I feel I can justify the cost. I also use another one called DrumUp.
I haven't heard of that one.
DrumUp, which is a way of following certain topics. Mm. And then they also have a free entry level option, listeners. As with many platforms, you do need to be mindful. Quite a lot of these are American, so you need to be mindful of the Americanisms. So, for example, putting in Hampshire, say, as a search term means initially I got lots of issues relating to New Hampshire, which wasn't really relevant to our audience. But there is also a tool to put in negative keywords, so you need to think about that. And then I use still the good old faithful Google Alerts, because that helps me also build content sources.
Yeah, I've also found Google Alerts useful for tracking any information on clients, so you can put in your client name and whenever their name is mentioned.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Unfortunately, if I have it for Brilliant Fish, it does give me stories about Brilliant Fish and Chips.
Brilliant Fish and Chips?
Yes.
Oh, right, okay. Fine. So there then.
It's probably useful at this point to say we've included a transcript of this episode on our website, themarketingmenu.com, which will include links to all these platforms if you want to investigate them further. So if you're not already on our website, head over there afterwards to download your copy. So, well, we've covered a lot today. What are the key nuggets for listeners to take away from today's episode?
Okay, well, Liz, firstly, I'd say always, always be mindful that you don't need to be on every channel, but you need to be where it counts. So choose your platforms and then dig in, keeping in mind at all the times that you are there to drive engagement there, listeners. And if you're stuck, research. I research the competition and see what's working for them. Secondly, keep personal and business profiles separate and hold different sorts of conversations for each. And then if you have got a team, please, guys, could you make sure you prioritise training and put in some decent controls and procedures, but without, you know, curbing enthusiasm or creativity, that is.
Yeah, and finally, use tools, as Nikki said, to do the housekeeping element of your business updates. And then search out others to help build your content around other people's shares. Always remembering to quote them, of course, which is, I suppose, a case in point. Please do share this podcast with your own channels when we've finished, as we're keen to get out and help as many other potential listeners as possible.
Yes, please do. Yeah. So before we wrap up, let's just say a big thank you to you, the listeners, for tuning in. We're very glad you chose us, as we know there are other podcasts out there and webinars. But we hope that you've enjoyed what we've shared with you today and that we've given you some good tips for your social media activity.
Yeah, so tune in again on Wednesday the 28th of June, when the subject will be all about public relations.
Oh, that's one for you, Liz.
And how it can work alongside your marketing. So this is goodbye from me, Liz at Brilliant Fish PR and Marketing. Till next time.
And me, Nikki Matthews from MediaBots Marketing. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to The Marketing Menu, brought to you by Nikki Matthews and Liz Gordon. Episodes are every 2 weeks on Wednesdays. Please share, subscribe, or add reviews, and stay in touch for more bite-sized marketing tasters for growing businesses.